If you had the joy of joining us in our Mark Bible study for the past several weeks, you will know that Mark is a rapid storyteller, leaving out many details and quickly getting us to the point. In today's text, in true Mark fashion, we get two stories at once. Two stories that could stand powerfully alone, and yet they are so powerful in unison as well. Stories of healing and faith. Mark begins our story with Jesus coming back from the other side with a great crowd gathered around him. Last week, our text left us with Jesus making his trip to the other side, and I didn't touch much on what it means that Jesus was going to this other side, but it's imperative to know. The other side Jesus traveled to was Gentile territory, the country of the Gerasenes. This was probably a dangerous or inappropriate destination for Jesus. And yet Jesus crossed those boundaries, showing that imaginary lines in the sand did not matter when it came to his call to serve all people. Because Jesus crossed these boundaries, many people heard about it, especially since he performed an exorcism while on the other side. So in our text for today, pick up with Jesus returning and there being a large crowd, it's because people are starting to hear about the amazing or maybe crazy works that Jesus is doing. In the midst of this large crowd, Jairus, a high leader in the synagogue, finds Jesus and he wants Jesus to come and heal his dying daughter. Jesus immediately responds and begins to follow Jairus to his house, and is in this moment, as they are fighting through a large crowd, that Jesus feels his power leave his body. Then a woman who was extremely fearful and trembling fessed up and told Jesus that she had touched his cloak to find healing. Jesus was not angry with this woman, but rather tells her to go on her way, that she has been made well. Jesus, coming from his position in society, could have been really angry at this woman, ignored her, and continued on his way with Jairus. But that is not the kind of business Jesus is into. This woman had been hemorrhaging for 12 years, and due to purity laws, that means she would have had to live those 12 years in isolation. 12 years of isolation from society. 12 years without human contact or physical touch. This woman knew that Jesus was her last resort, her final moment of hope for healing. She is fully aware that she is a social outcast. She is fully aware that she legally should not be touching other people. And yet she takes the chance with fear. Jesus does not get angry with her, but Jesus sees her. Jesus sees her full humanity. Jesus doesn't see an unnamed woman who should be living in isolation, but rather Jesus sees a child of the Most High in need of healing. The social barriers that separate Jesus and this woman fall instantly, and Jesus puts Jairus on hold. Jesus takes this moment to grant this woman her humanity. This is not done in private either, but rather it is done in front of a large crowd, who I'm sure assumed this encounter was going to go a very different direction. And then in true Mark fashion, we waste no time getting back to the other story of Jairus' daughter. The news was delivered that she had died while Jesus was with the hemorrhaging woman, and many thought it was unnecessary for Jesus to come at this point. Once Jesus arrives at the house, he tells everyone who is grieving that the girl is simply sleeping. He orders her to get up, and she does and started to walk around. I'm sure you've heard people say this story is simply about a girl who is in a coma or truly sleeping. But I think that takes away from God's power in this story. God's power to conquer death and bring healing in places that healing seems unattainable. The healing powers of God are what we still long to encounter today. And through these stories, we learn that God's healing power is not limited to class or social status, but that God grants humanity and healing to the needs of those on the fringes and the privileged. There is no border for God's healing presence. There is no person that God would not heal. There's no labels, barriers, or pre-existing conditions for God's healing. So what does that mean for us today? What does healing look like today? How do we claim God's promises of healing and hope for ourselves? As we are all too aware, Jesus is not walking this earth granting healing in each situation. We cannot simply reach out and touch his cloak for healing. We can't call him to our house and restore the dying to life. And yet, we all long for healing. Maybe this is what our world longs for most: healing of our nations, healing in war-torn countries, healing of racism, healing of homophobia, healing of terminal illnesses, healing of mental health, healing of chronic illnesses. I'm sure the mother of Antoine Rose, who was shot and killed by a police officer in Pittsburgh, longs for healing and for her son to be restored to life. I'm sure the families who fled their countries in fear and out of the safety for their lives long for healing as they reached a border that they thought would be safe, only to be ripped from their children and detained. I'm sure everyone sitting in a hospital right now is longing for healing, for themselves, for their family members, or for those they don't know. But there is healing in this world. The healing power of God looks like shouts of families belong together ringing out in front of detention centers. The healing power of God looks like people with their fists in the air proclaiming Black Lives Matter. The healing power of God looks like a family exhaling together after their loved one has been laid to rest after a battle with cancer. The healing power of God looks like a warm meal from a neighbor during a hard time. The healing power of God comes in many different forms and in many different places, usually unexpected, but always welcome. While we know that healing can be a reality, we still constantly long for healing to enter our lives. Longing for healing is real and one of the most difficult places to be. There is no guarantee to our healing. There is no guarantee that war will cease or that families will be reunited or that cancer will be eradicated. So we are left in our longing and our pleading with God. Where do we turn in this longing? How long must we cry out for healing? We have all been in these moments of longing for healing, and you all should have received a piece of paper when you came in today, so I invite you to take that piece of paper and a pencil out right now, and I want you to take a few moments to write on that piece of paper what you long to be healed. Where are you longing for healing to show up in our world? I think it is in these moments of longing and pleading that we turn to God's love and promise that death, illness, and chaos do not have the final word. These stories bring up a lot of questions about healing, and I think it is important to name that sometimes healing comes just as we want it. Sometimes there is no healing, or sometimes healing shows up in different ways than we expected. And yet, in all of this, God is still present. God is present in our joy when healing comes. God grieves with us in the times when there is no healing. God sits with us in our confusion when healing comes in those unexpected ways. Even after all of this, we still have the promise of hope and life eternal, even if we cannot fathom it here on earth. God is with us from death to life, from hopelessness to hope. And that still doesn't mean everything will be okay. But it does mean that we are never alone when things are not okay. We have a God who grants humanity, dignity, and worth to each person. And for that, let the church say, Amen. During the hymn of the day, Pastor Julie and I will be present for healing prayers. One of us up in the chapel space, if you'd like to kneel or sit, and somebody else at the labyrinth. And so I invite you to come forward for those healing prayers during the hymn of the day. And also, you can take those sheets of paper and lay them on the altar or at the foot of the cross.